Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. I look forward tonight to sharing with you in this video. And of course, as you know, over the many videos that we've done, number one, we desire to share things that'll help you to have a more tangible relationship with God. Number two, that you might get your prayers answered, because the relationship with the Lord is where faith is the strongest, where God's real to you. And of course, he can become real to us through the Word of God. And the Word of God gives us all the premise for us to have the relationships like those in the past had relationships, especially Jesus, where he made comments, "I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. And I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it." And number three, to testify to what the Lord is doing. Even today, talking to some of my friends, even with some of the travel things that go on, we were seeing God's grace. One group of friends, Kevin and Ann Durant, were just sharing how this weekend, some things took place with flights, that flights were canceled, and they didn't become unnerved about anything. They gave it to their secretary to work on some things. Kevin just had a feeling in his heart about a particular airline to go with. And they went with an airline that had no problem at all. They got to the meeting, everything was perfect. However, the normal airline that they had actually canceled about 1,000 flights this weekend, and it was Southwest. And so with all those flights canceled, I'm thankful that they were able to make it to their meeting because they were able to choose the right flight. Now, that's grace. And now I want to share a grace story that's very interesting too, because it's interesting because it evolves around this same weekend. I was traveling as well, and I had booked, you know, like I normally do, Southwest Airlines, Denver to Minneapolis, Minneapolis back to Denver. And of course, Sunday morning, 5:30 in the morning, found out that my flight was canceled. And in finding that out, of course, I began to call to Southwest. But now I've learned some things. In the past, I might have been really nervous about it or upset about it. I've learned if you get upset about something right away, you're trying to control it. As long as God's in it with you, you don't need to get upset. Things are going to work out. And so just very nonchalant, I tried to get in touch with Southwest, couldn't do it. So I went ahead and booked a flight on Delta. And of course, Monday morning flew 9 o'clock, got in early, 9:45 to Denver. And it was a great flight. And I was able to get right in with no problems at all. So interesting, Kevin and Ann had a situation with their flight where they were able to avoid that. I was in the midst of it, and yet God got me out. And he got me out on time, and I got home just perfectly. Just showing you that sometimes you may walk through some fire, but God will still get you out. Other times you could avoid that fire and God will rescue you. Now, a good friend of mine, Joe Morris, I did a meeting with him this weekend, and we were together up in Minneapolis doing a men's meeting for Living Word, Mac and Lynn Hammond. What a wonderful place. Some amazing and great people. Wow. We had a good time. But now with Joe, he was supposed to come in Thursday night and his flight canceled. He ended up getting on a flight on a Friday morning, and the lady at the desk wasn't necessarily happy with him asking how do things look, because he was on standby. And she said, "There's 30 people in front of you. There's no way you're going to get on." And the lady that talked to him about his luggage said, "There is no luggage here. We're not sure where your luggage is going to end up, but it doesn't look good, like it's going to end up in Minneapolis, Minnesota." And sure enough, the first person they called was Joe. And he walked up and you could just see that lady kind of looking at him like, "How in the world did you get on this flight?" And when he got to the carousel where all the luggage was coming, knowing that he shouldn't have his luggage, sure enough, it was on the carousel. He walked right down and picked it up. And we met him perfectly at the door, where we didn't have to wait, or we didn't have to go a long ways away and have him come. It's kind of like somebody was orchestrating it. And maybe, just maybe, grace was doing what grace does all the time. When you put God first, God will put you first and just does wonderful things for you. So as we get into some of the scriptures that we have, I want to share some things. And I'm going to come over here to John and chapter 10 and verse 15. This is a great scripture. In fact, I'm going to turn to it. I could quote it, but I want to make sure that I get it just right. John chapter 10 and verse 15. And it says right here, I alone, this is verse 14, am the good shepherd, and I know those whose hearts are mine, for they recognize me and know me, just as my Father knows my heart, and I know my Father's heart. I am ready to give my life for the sheep. Well, that's in the Passion. So I'm going to go right now to the King James Version, or the New King James, and look at what it says. As my Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, the reason why I love this is because those little prepositions as mean in the same degree and under the same conditions. So it really means in the same degree, under the same conditions that my Father knows me, even so I know the Father. Now, that's pretty powerful because Jesus wasn't saying that as the Son of God. He was saying that as the Son of Man, or in other words, just like us. So all of this helps to translate into you taking the shackles off and removing the blinders and allowing your heart to come out beyond where it's been before so you can actually trust God to know him, feel him, and experience him like you haven't yet to this point. When it says, as the Father knows me, even so I know him in the same degree under the same conditions that the Father knows me. Now, the word know doesn't mean the Father has intellectual knowledge. Jesus has all the intellectual knowledge of the Father. It means in the same degree, under the same conditions that the Father is experiencing me, I also am experiencing the Father. In other words, Jesus could say about the Father and he experiencing one another that I'm experiencing in my way of understanding and experience, I'm experiencing God on the same level that God's experiencing me. He's just as real to me as I am real to him. And this is the point that we're getting to. A spirit-to-spirit connection ought to be real. In fact, when we go back to the Garden of Eden, there's all kinds of premise there for us to understand how things were. Of course, then you go to the end, which is the other bookend, which is Revelation, and you can see it all over again, how things will be. So then you can take the two bookends, Genesis, Revelation, and see how things are right now. And of course, Jesus came to give us a demonstration of what we're supposed to experience now. And then he brought us into the new covenant and to this new redemptive reality where he makes us just like himself, so much like him as the body that he has to allow us to sit on the throne of God with him, because where the head goes, so goes the body. And we're seated with him. That's what Ephesians 2 and verse 6 is trying to tell us. That God has raised us up to sit together with him in heavenly places. So think about that spirit-to-spirit connection. Now, Adam and Eve had a body that was connected to this world. Certainly, they walked with that body, so their spirit walked in the body. They ate with that body. They had communication with that body. And they knew God with that body. But the greatest connection wasn't their flesh to this world. It was their spirit to God's world or to God. So you could say it like this. The spirit was connected to God while the flesh was connected to the world. Now, understanding some of this is why you protect your heart. Do you remember the one thing that God actually told Adam in the garden? Guard the garden. Cultivate the garden. Well, I don't necessarily think he was saying that you need to pull weeds. I think what he was saying is guard your heart, guard the garden of your soul. And we know, thank God, the garden of our soul is our spirit. So just like over there in Proverbs chapter 4, where we see that we're supposed to guard our heart with all diligence and keep your tongue and keep your heart and keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. The same way in the Garden of Eden, I believe that's what God was meaning to Adam. In other words, there was something in the garden that was going to try to steal away from Adam the thing that was most precious, and that was the spirit-to-spirit connection with God. All right, I'm going to come over here then and look at the word in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. Why? Because I'm going to stay on this idea of knowing or experiencing God. Remember, we came from last week talking a little bit about being still and knowing God. We talked a little bit about Daniel 11:32, they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. And what were we trying to come up with there? Well, what we were doing is investigating the idea, does it mean that those that have intellectual knowledge of God will be strong and do exploits? Well, you see all kinds of people with intellectual knowledge, and when the tough times come, they fold like a one egg pie. I know some of you are thinking, what in the world is a one egg pie? Well, just very seriously, if you don't have enough eggs, you know, to make a pie or to make a cake, it does not turn out the way that it's supposed to be. And so very simply, you know, with people that just have intellectual knowledge, when the pressure comes on, they fold. They're not able to stay with what they believe. They immediately jump ship and go with what they know or what they've experienced of this world. And that's the thing that we're endeavoring to do, is change the paradigm until the experiences you have with God and His grace become the paramount issue of your life. And the reason why, no matter what happens, you'll immediately go to God first. And once you go to God first with a heart like that, you won't have to go somewhere else second. Doesn't this make sense? Isn't this what we all want? And that is to have a relationship with God where we hear Him speak to us and we can communicate with Him like we do one another in this world, and where we recognize His presence and we literally feel the tangibility of God and walk in a knowing, both in our mind and in the experience of God being all over us. It's kind of like David knowing that God defeated the bear and the lion, and surely He will be with me with this Philistine. Being with me is not patting him on the shoulder while David has to fight, and because he's not able to kill Goliath in his own strength, he dies. No, that's the way we've interpreted things down through the years until religions got the best of us. And God being with us is just an individual that's there to console us in the midst of our misery, because most likely it's not going to turn out the way we want it to. Folks, you know, sometimes you might think I'm rambling, but I don't really think I'm rambling at all. I think I'm actually speaking truth that comes right to the very heart of these issues. And that is, no, the revelation knowledge we're talking about is an experience with God. In other words, why have revelation without the experience? Oh, I think that's exactly what Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 says in the Amplified, where it says that you may really come to know. And then in brackets, it says practically through experience for yourselves. The love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge, and in brackets, it goes on to say, without experience. So mere knowledge. Now, when it says mere knowledge, that means it's lower than it's supposed to be. You're accepting something that's not on par with who you are and who God has made you in Christ. In other words, if my goodness, He made us as the crowning achievement of everything that we've made, everything that He made, and He raised us up to sit together in heavenly places, then we ought to experience things on that level. And it says mere knowledge is without experience, but revelation knowledge is what? It says practically through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God. You may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Now, do you see how that works? That doesn't just come because of knowledge about God. That comes not only having knowledge about Him, but then the experience of God, tapping into the reality of that spirit-to-spirit connection where God is real. And what begins to happen? What was Paul's reasoning for you having knowledge with experience of the love of Christ, which surpasses all of your understanding, is so that you would become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Now you think, if I'm a body, my body is literally filled and flooded with God Himself. That's exactly what Paul prayed about over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 5. And that was while in the midst of his groaning, he said, I don't want to be unclothed, but I want to be further clothed with my habitation, which is from above, that my mortality, which is the flesh, might be immersed in the sea of immortality. What was Paul basically saying? He's saying, I want to be so saturated with God from my spirit to His spirit so that my flesh and everything worldly will be swallowed up in the anointing and the presence of the Lord. That's why he prayed the prayer over there in Ephesians chapter 3, that we would become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. And the first part of that prayer is, I'll read it right here. It says that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God and may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Folks, I'm going to stop right there, but the secret to spiritual results is obviously recognizing God. You know, Jesus said, my sheep recognize me and they know me. In the Amplified, that's what it says. He said, the world doesn't recognize me and the world doesn't know me. So just let's draw this little bit of an understanding that if we're struggling with recognizing God and knowing him or experiencing him, it means we've placed too much value and importance on knowing, recognizing, and experiencing the world. The moment we can shift the importance of our time and our energy to God is when everything will begin to shift in the spirit to where you spiritually become aware, awake, and perceptive. And where physically, it's not that you aren't awake and perceptive, it's just it no longer rules your heart. We're going to come back with a great scripture next week. Just want you to know how fun it is for me to do these videos and give you these little tidbits as I'm growing and as I'm learning the same things and developing a tangible relationship with my Father, and the anointing's becoming stronger and prayers are being answered and testimonies are real. I want that for you. So I'm going to leave you with our opening verse of scripture, which is the invitation of our Lord, and then we'll sign off. Matthew 11, 27 to 30 in the Message Bible says, now Jesus resumed talking, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. You can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page, and you can follow us, or you can go to the YouTube Adventures in Grace channel, and you can subscribe if you'd like. Then make sure and go to jhmi@jimhockaday.com, which is our email, and share with us your grace testimonies. And if you need to know where to find that, it's just very simply jimhockaday.com. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.